The title of the sermon this morning is, Can a Christian Do White Magic? Now, this may or may not mean anything to you, this title, but the sense of white magic is that there is an idea that there are two kinds of magic, and I don't mean magicians, what magicians do on the stage, but in some real sense, there are two kinds of magic that are done. There's black magic, which is evil, and which has its roots in hell. And there's white magic, which is somehow good and blessed and holy. This is the idea. And the question that I ask this morning is, can a Christian do white magic? And we're going to find out. I have here a small vial of oil of chrism. Oil of chrism is a combination of olive oil, oil of balsam and some spices. Goes back very, very early in the church. And this is blessed each year at Easter time by the bishop. And it's used during baptisms. After a baby is baptized with water, then the oil of chrism is actually put on the baby's head or an adult's head who is baptized. And they're blessed and they're sealed as Christ's own forever. Those are the words that are spoken with the cross done with this oil. I'd like to say a prayer over this oil. I'd like you to turn, if you would, if you'd take a copy of the Book of Common Prayer out of the pew there, turn first to page 453 in that book. The prayer book is an interesting book because it's got a variety of forms of prayer in it, including one for ministering to the sick. And if you see on page 453, this is the form for ministering to the sick. Now turn to page 455, just turn the flap over, and you'll see under part 2, there's a prayer for sanctification of oil to be used in anointing a sick person. I'm going to say that prayer over this oil right now. O Lord, Holy Father, giver of health and salvation, send your Holy Spirit to sanctify this oil, that as your holy apostles anointed many that were sick and healed them, so may those who in faith and repentance receive this holy unction be made whole through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. This prayer is based primarily on a passage in the 6th chapter of Mark, verses 12 and 13. That reads, They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And these are apostles that Jesus had sent out. They anointed many sick people with oil, and they healed them. And there are many passages in the Bible, in the Old and in the New Testament, where priests or kings are anointed with oil which has been consecrated, that is, set aside for holy purposes, and for holy purposes alone. One of those is called unction, or holy unction, and that's actually the anointing of oil for the sick. And it's one of the seven sacraments of the church. The seven sacraments are unction, baptism, confirmation, marriage, reconciliation of a penitent, ordination, and Eucharist. And actually only two of these are recognized by our church as genuinely biblical and from the earliest church tradition. Those are baptism and Eucharist. The others came to be regarded as sacraments over the course of time as the church grew. And the Catholic Church today still recognizes all seven of those sacraments. Most Protestant churches only recognize two sacraments, Eucharist and baptism. And the Anglican Church, in its best tradition of both and, recognizes the seven sacraments and the two sacraments, but with explanation. Now, what's a sacrament? What does that idea mean? What is the concept of sacrament? Sacrament is defined as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. An outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And I hope this idea becomes clear as we go along. Now this oil, the oil in this vial, will be given to certain individuals in this congregation for use in healing ministry. When they visit the sick, when they pray with them, and they anoint them, they will place some of it in a small container much like this one that I have. If you notice, when I take the lid off, inside is some cotton, and the cotton is soaked in this oil. And this oil will be used in anointing people either who are sick or who will themselves be praying for others who are sick. You also will see me regularly use this at the beginning of communion when I might anoint Ellie or June Young, who's not here today, or someone else. And then they will go in back and they actually pray for people who need prayer after I've anointed them. What's interesting about this is that it works. What I mean by that is that people who have been anointed and are prayed for are actually healed. This healing actually takes place. Now, why is this? If this healing actually takes place, and I tell you that it does, why is it? Well, as a person living in a scientific age, I can imagine several possible reasons. Reason number one is the famous placebo effect. The idea is that if you give someone something they believe is able to make them well, often they become well, even if it's just a sugar pill. Maybe this is what the oil does. Possibility number two is the extra attention. Very often, disease is caused by or aided by depression. And so all the extra holy attention that a person who's sick gets from a person praying with them, laying hands on them, or anointing them with oil might just make them feel a bit more loved and a bit happier, and their brightened mood then helps them heal more quickly. That's possibility number two. Possibility number three, maybe the oil has actual medical value that promotes healing. Now, this is a funny idea, but it actually is the way that oil has been used for centuries, still is in parts of the Middle East, particularly for cuts and scrapes and bruises. And in fact, the words in the 23rd Psalm, "Thou anointest my head with oil," although that's often used to reflect back on kings being anointed where oil was poured on their head, it's also true that shepherds, and that psalm was written by a shepherd will anoint the head or the face of a lamb that's been caught in a thicket and scraped up its skin. And the shepherd will rub oil into that wound in order to help it heal. And that may be the reference in the 23rd Psalm, since it was written by David, a shepherd. But it doesn't seem particularly like this medical use would be particularly valuable for arthritis or curvature of the spine or psychological distress. Reason number four, the blessing of this oil, its consecration, its setting apart as holy, imbues it with a special holiness, a grace of God, almost like an energy, a radiation of holy power. Using it in prayer for healing confers this special grace or energy to the person in need. Okay. Now, there may be other reasons why people are often healed when they're anointed, but these four summarize the major possibilities: placebo effect, extra attention, medical effect, or the holiness of the oil. Of course, if you're a scientific rationalist, as many folks are, you don't believe that this consecrated oil can actually have any real effect at all. And there's not much point in trying to guess which of these four reasons might be true, because none of them make any sense, at least not in that worldview. Although the first or second, placebo and extra attention, might well be true, but that has nothing to do with the oil itself. It could as well be anything. The third, that it has medical efficacy, could be true maybe in rare circumstances like healing a scratch, but cooking oil or aloe vera would probably work even better. So why holy oil? And the fourth, that this oil has holiness transferred to it in its consecration, well, that idea would simply be dismissed, tossed aside. That's the position of a scientific rationalist. It is also the position of an Orthodox Christian. The reason is that Christians don't believe in magic. We don't believe in magic. Things are not holy, even if a bishop or a priest blesses them. Only God is holy. Things are not holy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are holy. Things are not holy. Now, this is a very important concept to grasp because it does not fit the general worldview of the society in which we live. Oil cannot be given power. It cannot have energy or radiation. These are pagan, animistic concepts. They follow from the idea that God or the spirit of life or whatever is in the universe. It is, in a sense, a mindless force which is there, which some can tap into. And they turn our eyes from the one and true God, the one and eternal source of real holiness. Now, some examples of this, and this is very, very common in our culture. One is quartz crystals. Now, a lot of people wear quartz crystals just as jewelry and as decoration these days. But also many people wear one of those little, it's almost like an upside-down Washington Monument, quartz crystal, because they believe that that crystal contains power to help them heal or to be healthy. And in fact, that crystal may have actually spent some time in a little pyramid, which they believe focused energy from the universe into this crystal. And then they wear the crystal around their necks and believe that that crystal carries power, which helps them stay healthy. Another place where this was heard was in Star Wars. Remember Luke Skywalker? And Obi-Wan Kenobi said, "Luke, may the Force be with you." And when you're in trouble, when he's fighting the Dark Force and Darth Vader, then what he had to do, pardon me? When he's calling on the power of the Force, that force would be there to help him fight evil. And the concept there was that there is a dark force, a black force, and there is a white force, or a light force. Both of these are mindless. That is, that these are not spirits. They are forces, and there is a force which tends towards evil and a force which tends towards good. And what Luke was to do was to tap into the force which tended toward good and use that to fight the force which tended toward evil. Another place is in magic rings. You know, there are fantasy stories which many folks read, fun and can be quite harmless, but the idea that you read in many fantasy stories is that a ring or a sword or some other object is imbued with a special energy which allows you to do magic. And if you're on the side of the good, then you do white magic and you fight the black magic which is on the side of evil. Another place where we find this is in shamans, Indian holy men who are in touch with the forces of nature and can draw on those forces in order to promote healing or wellness or peace or whatever. Another is with psychics. If you call the psychic hotline that you see on TV, they'll talk to you. Or if you go and see one in person, they'll ask for a ring that you've worn for some period of time. Or if you want them to tell you something about a friend, they'll ask for a bracelet, and they'll hold on to that object, and they do what's called psychometry, and that is they believe that they feel vibrations from the person who had that ring or that bracelet or whatever, and they use that to do a reading about that person's future. This is also true in the church. For many, many centuries, the church collected relics of saints. I was in Vienna, Austria, about a year ago. And in the Rijksmuseum there, the King's Museum, there are very large designed objects about this big. They're called monstrances. And they, very ornate gold filigree carving. And right in the center of it is held by two little points, generally like that, a bone, fraction of bone from a saint. And there are hundreds of these in this museum. And it was believed that if you had a fraction of a bone from a saint, that being near it would help heal people. And in fact, they would carry that to someone who was very sick and touch them with it, believing that then the healing power would flow out of the saint's bones and into the person who was sick. All of these ideas have fundamental to them the concept that there is force or energy in the universe which can be tapped into for good or for evil. For good or for evil. Black magic, white magic. This is a fundamentally un-Christian concept. It is heresy. It is the worst kind of heresy, because what it does is it substitutes for God an object. There is only one source of holiness, and that is God. And when one puts in its place something else, which one believes has power or energy for the good, that is idolatry. It's worship of a thing rather than God. Our God is present with us all the time. When we use oil to anoint a sick person, we use it as a symbol. This is not meant to trivialize it, but we use it as a symbol of God's anointing and healing which can come to us. When healing comes with the use of oil or the laying on of hands in prayer, it's because God Himself is present. He is not there by proxy. These are not trailings that God has left behind Him that we can grab a hold of and try to apply as if they contain force. When we pray for healing, God Himself is present in that prayer. Not only is He present there, He is consciously present there. Oh, wait a minute. The heresy of magic is that it's unconscious. The fundamental idea is that there is some sort of mindless energy which can be applied like medicine or electricity. It doesn't matter whether it's called white magic or black magic. The idea assaults God. It affronts God because it is worshiping a thing rather than the Creator Himself who is present with us. We don't need to have a little trailing from God. We don't need to have a little object imbued with God's power. We've got God. We don't need a proxy. We've got God. So the definition of a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Perhaps another way to express this would be an outward and visible sign of Emmanuel, of God with us. When we consecrate this oil, it's not because we believe it imbues it with some kind of magical power or healing energy. We consecrate it simply to acknowledge that we have set it apart for holy actions. When we pray for healing, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, when we pledge ourselves or our actions to God, we consecrate them, we set them aside. The oil does not gain holiness. Only God is holy. To believe otherwise is idolatry. When I pray for the Holy Spirit during the consecration of the bread and wine at communion, no magic is taking place. No special energy is being put into the bread and wine. Rather, I am requesting the presence of the Holy Spirit, God, an infinitely conscious being, to be present in our worship, a God who knows our names individually, a God who created each of us and who is present with us there when we take communion. That's what you get here. You don't get magic. Not white magic or black magic. You get God. Not magic, but God Himself. God Himself present in the breaking of the bread, in the anointing with oil. To believe in magic is to have a God other than the one true God. It's idolatry. Turn from idolatry. Cling only to God. Amen.